You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Mecca is simultaneously one of the world's most visited cities and also perhaps its most forbidden. 2 to 3 million pilgrims converge on it every year for the Hajj, but non-Muslims have been barred from entering it for over 14 centuries. Filming the Hajj is illegal under Saudi law, but for filmmaker Parvez Sharma, recording his pilgrimage for a Western audience wasn't the only dangerous part. Mr. Sharma is openly gay, and homosexuality is punishable by death in Saudi Arabia. His latest film, A Sinner in Mecca, is not just an account of his Hajj, but also a deeply personal exploration of the intersection of his faith and his identity, and how they both conflict with the extremist brand of Islam that controls its holiest sites and shapes its global image. The film opens tomorrow at Cinema Village on East 12th Street, and I'm very pleased to welcome Parvez Sharma to our show today. Hello.
Leonard, thanks for having me.
Now, you're not just openly gay, but you're an openly gay public figure. And your previous film, A Jihad for Love, is about homosexuality in Islam. And didn't you receive death threats because of it?
I'm receiving death threats right now. With A Jihad for Love, it was a long journey, and there was a lot of publicity at that time, and many Muslims were really upset about the film. But eventually we managed to show it extensively in the Muslim world.
But how were you able to obtain a Saudi visa?
I think I slipped in through the cracks because they're processing millions of visas and they didn't do a Google search. So they didn't do due diligence.
How do they control access to the city?
Non-Muslims have never been allowed into Mecca.
Although some have gone. Sir Richard Burton was able to disguise himself and do the Hajj in 1853. Yeah. There have been a few others, I think.
I'm pretty sure they have, yeah.
But is this just something that Saudi law requires, or is this Islamic law that no non-Muslims can go to the Hajj in Mecca?
It depends on who you're talking to, but non-Muslims not going into Mecca for the past 14 centuries is an example set by the Prophet Muhammad himself. So I would say that most Muslims would tell you that that is Islamic opinion.
And what happens if a non-Muslim, at least theoretically, is caught within city limits?
I would not know because I didn't go there as a non-Muslim.
You argue in the movie that the Saudi government's interpretation of Islam is wildly different from Muhammad's because of Wahhabism?
Wahhabi doctrine in Saudi Arabia is the most dangerous form of Islam on the planet today. The doctrine for ISIS, for example, or even Al-Qaeda, finds its roots in this Saudi version of Islam. That is regressive, it's cruel, it's puritanical, and the Saudis are exporting it all around the Muslim world, making the Muslim world very conservative.
So are they caught in a bind right now because they are officially opposed to ISIS at the same time that, to some degree, they are the inspiration for ISIS?
They've always been hypocritical and caught in a bind around this. The reason the Saudi regime survives is because it has Islamic sanction from the Wahhabi scholars and Islamic scholars that control everything in Saudi Arabia.
Are you heartened by the announcement that women will be voting in the next Saudi elections?
That is an encouraging sign, but I don't think that a lot in Saudi Arabia is going to change during my lifetime.
In the movie, you travel back and forth between Mecca and Medina, New York, and your hometown in India. How is practicing Islam different in those different places?
It's the same.
It is. Well, Muslim, but you don't have Wahhabism in your hometown in India or in New York, do you?
I think Wahhabi law has penetrated more than you can imagine. The 96th Street Mosque here in Manhattan is funded and built by the Saudis.
Huh.
And not many people know that.
Well, you were brought up in the Sufi practice, and Sufism is one of the most peaceful of all of the religions in the world.
I was not brought up Sufis. It was a part of my life. that was an influence on the kind of Islam I grew up with. But it is indeed the mystical part of Islam and was very important in my childhood.
Does Saudi Arabia welcome Sufis?
Absolutely not.
And what about Shiites? Because you went as part of a Shiite group. Saudi Arabia is a Sunni country.
It is a very Sunni country. It is very against, for them, the Shia, just like me, an openly gay Muslim man, would be infidels. Saudi Arabia and Iran have never been friends, are never going to be friends. And for them, this question of whether Shia Muslims should exist even is a question that should not be brought up or discussed.
Well, of course, there's also no acceptance of homosexuality in Saudi Arabia. You even include a scene in which a gay man is beheaded.
It's shocking what happens in Saudi Arabia. You said that women are going to be allowed to vote, and that's amazing. But this is also a country that routinely, probably every Friday, carries out public beheadings for various crimes committed by people. We're in the 21st century, and no one questions that, and that's ridiculous.
When you were growing up, were you told that homosexuality was unacceptable in God's eyes?
Yes.
So how did you reconcile that and then decide to go on a pilgrimage to a place where if they found out that you were gay, you would have been killed, or theoretically anyway?
Theoretically, yes. I was terrified. But at the same time, as you see in the film, it's a deeply personal journey. It's finishing some unfinished business. And it's also obeying what is my highest calling within Islam. I seek out that title of a Hajj pilgrim, and I want to go and get that validation that you get as a Muslim only after you've completed your Hajj in Mecca.
How did Daniel, your husband, think about this project, traveling to Mecca?
He doesn't have a religious bone in his body. So for him, it's always been hard to figure out why I need to be on dangerous journeys.
My guest is Parvez Sharma, who is the director and producer of a documentary called A Sinner in Mecca that opens tomorrow at the Cinema Village on East 14th Street. Do the Quran or the Hadith explicitly ban homosexuality?
There is a lot of debate about this, but if you talk to the majority of Muslim scholars, they will say that the story of Lot, which is the same as the story of Sodom and Gomorrah in the Old Testament and the New Testament, is an explicit condemnation of homosexuality. However, there's a reform movement within Islam now that is questioning the interpretation.
It doesn't say explicitly homosexuality is a sin.
Not as we understand homosexuality today.
Do you know any other gay Muslims who've traveled to Mecca for the Hajj?
They must have, but I don't think anyone has said that publicly.
You include an online correspondence you had with a gay man from Medina. Wasn't he afraid for his life?
He was. He left the country.
Because he just...
Because he felt oppressed and because of what he had witnessed. Now, there's a spoiler alert in that. I would rather want audiences to discover that when they watch the film.
What was your relationship with your mother like when she was alive? You seem to have been close to her, but she also disapproved of your sexuality.
Very much. She died angry. She was never able to accept me. And that is one of the reasons I go on the journey.
Because you wanted to kind of work out the relationship you had with her?
Yes.
Filming the Hajj is illegal as well, but do Saudi authorities enforce that law? Because in the film, other pilgrims seem to be aware that you were filming and they kind of interacted with the camera.
The Saudis have actually allowed a couple of junket films about the Hajj in which their minders have accompanied the people photographing the Hajj and doing it in the way the Saudis want you to do it. what I was doing was completely illegal. But I also call this my Saudi selfie film because a lot of pilgrims take selfies and they want a memory of the Kaaba, of Mecca, to go back home with them. This is the 21st century, after all. But as a filmmaker who has to stand in a particular spot for a long period of time, it attracts more attention from the religious police, and I got into trouble any number of times.
Because they spotted the cameras?
Yes. Well, not cameras. In this case, it was an iPhone and two cameras that looked like phones.
In one scene, you went to a shopping mall just a few steps from the Kaaba, and Paris Hilton has a shop in that mall?
I didn't see the Paris Hilton shop. What I saw and I filmed is the Starbucks. That's just a few hundred feet away from the holiest spot in Islam. Interestingly, the logo of the Starbucks has been carefully edited by the Saudis, and the mermaid is missing because you cannot depict a woman. So you see that, yeah.
As a Muslim, what was you trying to achieve spiritually by performing Hajj? Enlightenment? Absolution?
Redemption is what is promised at the end of the Hajj. The Prophet said that you're like a newborn after you have completed this pilgrimage.
And you have to go through a number of different rituals.
It is very ritualistic indeed.
Including the last one, which you couldn't do in Mecca?
Which I was not able to finish in Mecca, yes.
But not because of the reasons we've been discussing. Simply, it involves what, the sacrifice of a goat?
Yes.
And you couldn't, you didn't want me to reveal that, I'm sorry. It's hard to know what you don't want. In the end, you know, this is a film that will fascinate whether people know some of the details or not.
Absolutely. I think this film is poised to transform hearts and minds. And that's the kind of reaction we've been seeing.
But you completed your Hajj in India. That's okay?
I completed a ritual of the Hajj in India. Whether it is okay in the eyes of the Saudis, probably not. But it's okay between me and God.
You describe a certain kind of gender equality that exists in Mecca. But you also talk to a man who was separated from his wife during the tawaf, the circling of the Kaaba, only to watch other men touch her. Is the Hajj dangerous for a female pilgrim?
I'm not going to make a sweeping statement, but from what I saw, observed, and documented, I feel that it is doubly hard for women to be on this pilgrimage. We must remember that the Prophet's mosque in Mecca is the only mosque in the world where men and women are not separated, and that creates unique challenges for women performing the Hajj.
It's often pointed out that in Islam, as in many other religions, there are many variations. It often depends on the imam of the area and interpretations of things. But you argue that Islam is overdue for a reformation. Can it be made into some kind of consistent religion around the world?
There are many kinds of Islam, but the consistency of Islam comes from the Quran. So there is only one Quran, and no one can mess with that. What I'm making the case for is the argument that Wahhabi doctrine is the biggest problem in contemporary Islam, and that perhaps Muslims like me and others will be allowed to participate in a 21st century reformation of the religion. And I say it's urgent.
At the end of the film, you talk about returning to Mecca, telling God, if you will it, I will come back. Do you think you will be able to go back?
I would love to, but I don't think they let me in.
Now that this film has been made, they probably will Google you.
I think so.
But you have the film.
I have the film indeed.
And it's called A Sinner in Mecca. It opens tomorrow at Cinema Village. My great thanks to Parvez Sharma, who made it and who stars in it in what you call a kind of a documentary selfie. Thank you so much for coming on our show.
Thank you for having me.